The following program is brought to you in living color.
What are you doing? You burned all the food, the shade, the rum.
Yes, the rum is gone.
Why is the rum gone?
One, because it is a vile drink that turns even the most respectable men into complete scoundrels. Two, that signal is over 1,000 feet high. The entire Royal Navy is out looking for me. Do you really think that there is even the slightest chance that they won't see it?
But why is the rum gone?
It's The Wine Crush, the show that's all about the grape and the lifestyle it creates. The Wine Crush is presented by Lot18.com. Now, here's your host for The Wine Crush, Laura Lawson.
I've never taken orders from anyone. As long as I live, I'll never take orders from anyone. I'm young and strong and nothing can touch me.
Welcome to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, your favorite Chardonnay-guzzling diva, and you are listening to the show that's all about the grape in all its glory, all the vine, all the time, everything you ever wanted to know about wine but were afraid to ask. That's what we're here for. We are your media resource on everything about that plump, adorable, just waiting-to-be-plucked little grape. And I have to admit, I'm a little lonely today, Kent.
What's the matter?
Well, I got so used to Shanghaiing winemakers and principals and having people in the studio, it just feels kind of naked
in
here.
Well, don't feel too badly. There'll be another boat in any day now.
I'm sure.
Shanghai some more later. So.
Well, see, I have not been able to sleep at night. I've had the distinct feeling that perhaps you've been feeling neglected or like I haven't paid enough attention to you.
Oh, yes, of course.
Okay. I just want to make sure that you're okay and you're happy.
I actually like it when there's somebody in there to draw your disdain and to, you know, to,
but see, that's
to absorb some of the abuse that I get. So it's nice.
Well, that's what's taken the fun out of the crush lately is I've had to behave. I've had to be nice and I've had to be social and engaged. Now, granted, I've loved our guests, but, you know, I can't exactly be sharp with them. So I'm looking forward to today.
I'm just a high-paid button pusher. That's all I am. Just do whatever you must with me.
All right. As long as you acknowledge that, and I now officially have it on tape for posterity, I have no problem with it. But although, as much as I would love to talk to all of our listeners today, just me, I have decided to recruit some help, although they won't be in studio. Today's guest is Mr. Joshua Green. He is the editor and publisher of Wine and Spirits magazine, and very much looking forward to having Joshua on the show, because you've heard me mention in shows past about the Wine and Spirits annual poll that talks about what wines are in all the restaurants around town, around the country, everywhere you could ask for, what are the most asked for, what are the most presented, and what are the most sold wines. So he'll be very interesting to tap into, see what he thinks, see what how this is determined, and to really just pick his brain. So that will be nice. And I promise to behave at least to him, if not to Kent. So I get to actually recommend wines this week, and I had to do this all by myself. I couldn't put anyone on the spot or torment them. So what I've been doing is I have been following my golden rule that I gave you back at the beginning of the year, and I have revisited wines that I hadn't had in 2 or 3 or 4 years, either because I didn't like them to begin with, or I thought they were too commonplace, or because I just assumed I knew the wines. And so this has been an eye-opener for me this week. This wine I was always fond of, but for me, it didn't stand out as varietally correct. I thought it was too heavy. I will say this right now. I owe the wine and the winery an apology. Bellini Pinot Grigio. This is an Italian Pinot Grigio that for a while I just got out of the habit of drinking Pinot Grigios. And one day I had come across this and I thought, well, that's not a Pinot Grigio. It must be a Chardonnay. Skip it. But in the last vintage, I had a chance to sit down and try Bellini Pinot Grigio. And I will say this, for those of you who love the grape, who love the varietal, who are moving succinctly into Pinot Grigio, this is the wine for you. This is the one. It's not that light California, almost effervescent Pinot Grigio. This thing has some fangs. This thing has some claws. This thing has some body. You take a big sip of this, and it has this great mouthfeel. It's very luscious. But I think what differentiates it so much from the other Pinot Grigios is you don't feel the bite of the acid on the back of the tongue. You don't feel like you have just have it wash away. This wine is made to drink by itself. It's also made for food. Truly, probably the biggest food Pinot Grigio I have come across. I have to admit that I have a small dereliction and small passion for anything in butter and cheese and Alfredo sauce. And a lot of times when you get foods like that, it can be very easy for either Chardonnays to be overwhelming or for other Pinot Grigios just to get lost. This is the perfect pairing for those of you like me who are addicted to Alfredo sauce. I have not found anything that pairs better. So Bellini Pinot Grigio, this is something, and it's also very reasonable when you find it in your local Mega Mart. This is definitely a wine worth pursuing. It will go with everything you're planning to do for Easter, everything you're planning to do for Memorial Day, anything you're planning to do all summer. I will say this too, any kind of grilled white meat you're going to put on the Barbie or put on the grill, this will stand up to it. It will make your meal spectacular. So Bellini Pinot Grigio. Now, the other one I want to recommend is, once again, I'm revisiting things that I assumed I knew about. I think everybody who has touched a bottle of wine somewhere in this country knows what's going on in Washington State with their Merlots. I think if you're going to drink Merlot in the United States, that Washington State offers the best value, the best consistency. I think we're dealing with 9 different vintages where the Merlot has been outstanding. So it had been a while since I revisited the Columbia Crest Winery. Obviously, we've had the winemaker on. I love all the people with St. Michelle. I love all the people at Columbia Crest. But I happened to pick up a bottle of Columbia Crest H3 Merlot the other day. Now, this is kind of their mid-entry into their Merlot categories. Obviously, you can get into some higher tiers. You can get in some lower tiers with them. But the package itself, I have to admit, I fell for it. I looked at the package and I thought, wow, that's really neat. It stands out. Because when you look at the price point on this wine, it's definitely under 20 at your local Mega Marts. And it's got this beautiful, heavy, painted bottle, or at least it looks painted. Chances are it's not really painted. I just got sucked into that. But it doesn't have the paper label on it. It just really stands out. And I thought, H3. And it took me a second, even being the wine knowledge fount that I am, H3, it's Horse Heaven Hills. So here's a Washington State Merlot. It is AVA designated by Horse Heaven Hills. And like I said, it comes in under $20. This thing was all blackberry. It was succulent. It was juicy. It had such great flavors to it that, once again, I tell everybody, go back and revisit Merlot. This one will not only make you revisit Merlot, it'll make you stay in camp. This thing definitely has everything that Americans are looking for. Once again, we talk dry, but drink sweet. This is something that's right in the middle. Whether you're a true Cabernet drinker, whether you kind of play around with the lower tier Merlots, this thing is so luscious and so fruity and yet has such great structure that this is also going to be a great wine as you move ahead and put your darker meats on the grill for Easter, Memorial Day, or whatever's coming up this summer. It will pair beautifully with. And also, if you're in the same boat that I am, that all of a sudden you look out your window and everything that possibly should have bloomed from February all the way up to July is either coming out of the ground or blooming, we'll have an early berry season, this will be an ideal accompaniment. So those are your two wine recommendations this week, Bellini Pinot Grigio out of Italy and Columbia Crest H3 Merlot out of Washington State. So see, we've gotten our feet back on path. We are focusing. And you will notice that this week I picked value wines again.
Yes. We just got a call from Velma in Bent Fork, Tennessee. She wanted to know if you would spell Bellini so you could actually, she could actually find it.
Absolutely. Yes. Bellini, B-O-L-L-I-N-I. Bellini Pinot, P-I-N-O-T, Grigio, G-R-I-G-I-O. Now, here's my question. Are you actually taking phone calls? Are you doing your job in the booth? Or you're just trying to say, what was she saying?
I'm
going to fake it.
I made up Velma from Bent Fork, Tennessee. But I wanted to know how to spell it. You made it sound so good. I want to try it.
See, it bothers me that we have had this distance between us that you feel like you have to put a listener in there so you won't get mocked or made fun of.
Well, that's true.
So we'll definitely work on that.
I'm protecting myself, yes.
Kit's the only person I know that comes to studio in full padding. Well, after the last few weeks, I have to reiterate to everyone out there that this show is all about you and it's all for you. We do want your calls and we do want your emails. And what we try and do is structure shows around a group of callings that we get. I've got some emails today that I will definitely hit on about grapes in general. But we ask that you reach out to us. Laura Lawson at winecrush.com. That literally comes straight to my BlackBerry. I do answer it. And once again, if I've had a couple glasses of Chardonnay, you never know what kind of entertaining answer you might get. Also, 877-4-CRUSH-1 is our wine line. And we have had some great calls in the past. I know Kent has had to screen a couple, but we'd love to hear from you, whether you're driving down the road, whether you're sitting at home, or you just want to get on air. Do call us, 877-4-CRUSH-1. And of course, you can follow us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter. You can follow us on all that social media that I have to admit I'm not great at keeping up at, but at least I have a whole younger generation running around here that can tell me exactly what I'm doing wrong. Well, we're going to take a small break right here, but when we return, we will have Mr. Joshua Green, the editor and publisher of Wine and Spirits, joining us here on The Crush.
The Wine Crush, presented by Lot18.com.
With so many wine choices, it can be difficult to know what type of wine to buy. Lot 18 is a convenient and affordable new way to sample great wines. Each product is sourced by Lot 18 experts directly with the producer. This allows us to offer wine shipped to you at low prices.
Start your own wine adventure with Lot18.com today. Register now for free at Lot 18 and receive $10 off your first order. Visit Lot18.com/The Wine Crush. That's Lot18.com/The Wine Crush.
Are you feeling the credit card crunch? Increasing prices and the cost of credit are stretching budgets and preventing people just like you from getting ahead or just catching up with their debts. American Financial Solutions is a nonprofit organization that can help you get back on track with your debts and strengthen your financial situation. We offer a customized debt management plan, not a consolidation loan or a settlement, but a renegotiation of terms with your current creditors. You could benefit from lower interest rates, reduced fees, finally having your past due accounts brought back into current status, and a single monthly payment. So if you're falling behind on your credit cards, medical bills, or accounts and collections, get your current statements together and give American Financial Solutions a call now.
Here's the number for your free debt analysis. 800-430-8804. 800-430-8804. 800-430-8804. Not all services available in all states. Terms and conditions apply.
Designer and car builder Carol Shelby knows cars.
I have a passion for cars.
Carol Shelby recommends Z-Max Micro Lubricant.
This stuff really works. It penetrates the metal.
Add Z-Max to your oil and gas. It cleans internal components, delivers a cleaner fuel system, extends engine life, and improves engine performance.
Z-Max is going to give it a longer life and improve the performance.
Z-Max, available at auto parts stores and at ZMAX.com.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Ugh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUsKids, and the Ad Council.
Son, I want you home by 10, all right?
I know.
Hold on. Listen, we need to talk about drinking. You know how I feel about alcohol.
Yeah, I know.
Seriously, you're way too young to drink. I know some kids are drinking, but you're my kid. And just because they drink doesn't mean you have to.
I know.
I mean, you're still growing, you're still developing. You may think you can handle it, but you're not a grown-up yet. It's dangerous.
I know, okay?
Teenagers know everything. So talk about underage drinking before they know it all. Before they're teens.
Listen, when you drink, it screws up your judgment. I don't want you getting hurt. You could make some serious mistakes.
I know, I know.
Listen to me. This is real.
I know, okay? I know.
Start talking before they start drinking. And keep talking. To learn more about the dangers of underage drinking and what to say to your kids, go to StopAlcoholAbuse.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
After midnight, we're gonna lay it all hang down.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. Oftentimes we get emails and questions for you about how we pick what great wines we're going to recommend or what you should be drinking or what's a good resource to find out what restaurants are carrying. Right now it gives me great pleasure to have the editor of Wine and Spirits magazine, which to me produces the most comprehensive list of great wines to find in restaurants out there. So, Josh, are you with us?
Hey, Laura. Yes, I am. Good to meet you.
It is nice to meet you as well. It's always nice to have a new guest on the show. It's always exciting. It gives me one more person I can traumatize in the grand scope of things. Well, I did.
Do your worst, yeah.
All right. Don't say that. Kent's in the booth
right now, just shaking his head. Don't go there. Yes. Don't do that.
Joshua, the good news is I absolutely do love your poll. My background in the wine business is 20 years on the dark side of the business. You know, I don't come from the winemaking, the science side. I don't come from the retail side. I come from the ugly wholesale side of the business.
So, distributor.
So I grew up just bated breath waiting for Wine and Spirits magazine to come out with their annual restaurant poll, because my hope was all I had to do was take the magazine to photocopy it and highlight every wine I had that were mine, and I could just go out to restaurants. And at that time, let's say, not that I would date myself, but let's just think about
when you've
been
doing this for a long time. So,
yes. Yeah. So it was a guaranteed sale. It was. Oh, look, Wine and Spirits says it's the best-selling wines in restaurants, so you must carry it. So I actually owe you a kind of a hats off to some of my success, at least in the sales arena way back when, because I did cheat, and I probably photocopied your copyrighted material shamelessly and probably with penalty of law.
Well, we're not sending anyone down to bust you in Atlanta, so I think you're okay. I think you're safe.
Well, thank you. I do appreciate that. Well, for our listeners, now that I've gotten off of my rant, tell our listeners what Wine and Spirits is, what the restaurant poll is, and actually, let's know a little bit about Josh. How's that work for you?
Well, that's fine. Wine and Spirits is a magazine that comes out 8 times a year, and the restaurant poll appears in our April issue every year. We've been doing it since 1989.
I thought we said we weren't going to mention years.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay. Shame on you. A strike one. All right, you get two more.
Laura,
I'm a whole lot older than you are, so you don't have to worry about that. And what we do is we pull our magazine is basically geared for people interested in wine, whether they're in the trade or as consumers. And, you know, it's sort of the geekiest magazine out there for people interested in wine. And we pull top-level restaurants around the country. We look at the Zagat survey and choose the people who have been the most popular in the Zagat survey in the top 40 list. And we ask them what their 10 best-selling wines are for the year. So then we sort of cut that data into all different ways, look at it all different ways, and compare it over the course of those 22 years and see where the trends are. And that's what we do. That's the report that we produce every April.
Well, it does make sense. Now, question for you. When you call the restaurants and you reach out to them or take the survey, however you do it these days, and you ask for the 10 best-selling wines, are you asking them over a 12-month period? Are you asking for bottle sales? Are you asking for by-the-glass sales? Or just how many cases of whatever they move through the most?
What we ask them is specifically the 10 best-selling wines by the bottle for the fourth quarter of the year. We also track the 5 best-selling wines from them for by-the-glass sales. We ask them a bunch of different questions, but the main question is, what were the 10 best-selling bottles from your list in the fourth quarter of the year? Because, and we focus on the fourth quarter because that's really, as you know, having been in the business, that's really when the wine business does its business.
That's when it gets insane and you lose all capabilities of sleeping, making a complete sentence that doesn't have a four-letter word in it, and
exactly. Basically
your liver just checks out. Yes, I do understand that. But looking at, I've got to ask this, just because if you hear the intro to the show, I am the Chardonnay sipping or guzzling diva, depending on the week. When you look at the fourth quarter and you pull those wines, it tends always to be bigger styles. It's cooler outside throughout the whole country. In some places, it's downright cold. Do you think that skews your data a little bit, whereas people maybe who did it in the second quarter would be drinking more Pinot Grigio, they'd be drinking more Sauvignon Blanc? Do you feel that's a fault on it, or are you just looking for the big, heavy boys?
Interesting. Well, There are a lot of ways to look at that. First off, I don't know that given the fact that the climate is so different in different parts of our country, that people would necessarily drink so seasonally. I mean, certainly here where I am in New York, they do. But in Arizona or in Florida or even in Southern California, which is the biggest wine market in the country, I'm not so sure that seasonality plays into it that much. We have seen over the course of the years that those big, rich styles of wine have given a lot of market share over to lighter, fresher, brisker styles of wine. And I suppose that I suppose that it would be interesting to look at the entire year, but it's just the way we started it, looking at the, you know, the really heavy-duty sales time. And what's really important from my point of view about maintaining the value of the poll is to always do it the same exact way.
Oh, you have so, to. There's no doubt. Otherwise, you're going to wind up with skewed data. It was just a question that just came automatically off the top of my head.
No, and it's an interesting question. I'd never really thought about that. But I do think that because we're getting information from restaurants nationally, I don't know how skewed it would be. And, you know, I think one could make the same argument about another season.
Oh, I don't disagree. It's just I do some consulting still. I do keep my pinky toe into that side of the business. And this is the time of year where people are coming in saying, oh, well, I need less reds. I need more whites. I need lighter styles. So it's the only thing. Literally, I was dealing with the phone call about that about 3 hours ago. So it was one of the first questions that came to my head. Well, we obviously, everybody who is in the business, either on one side or the other, knows exactly what wine and spirits is about and what they can do. The question is, how did you get involved in wine and spirits? Which insane side of this business did you come from?
I came from the insane special interest magazine side of the business.
Okay.
And I was a consultant for the magazine for about 3 or 4 years before I purchased it. And basically, my job at the time was to set up a New York office for the magazine. It started out in Berkeley, California. And so I had worked in restaurants before working in magazines and had been a sommelier, actually, in restaurants when I was in college and stuff. And I was only a sommelier because nobody else could open a bottle of wine.
It's amazing how before you take all the classes and all the education, you become sommelier by default because you're the one that can pronounce Pouilly Foussé. There you go. There's our expert.
There's that also that you don't cut yourself on the corkscrew. But it was, you know, I was living in a place where people just didn't drink very much wine, and I was literally the only one who drank wine and who could open wine. But so I was interested in wine, and we were doing all these tastings here in New York, and I got more and more involved in the tastings and realized that it was something I was really interested in.
Well, that does make sense. Hey, listen, Joshua, if you don't mind, we're going to have to take a quick commercial break, but I would love to have you continue along this track and talk a little bit more about you, your background, and, of course, the poll from Wine and Spirits.
Sure.
All right, we're going to take a quick break here on The Crush, but when we return, we will delve deeper into the world of Wine and Spirits.
Sometimes shopping for wine can be intimidating. What if you could have your own team of wine experts to help you discover new wines and great values? Lot 18 members have access to some of the finest wines from around the world, and each selection is sourced by Lot 18 experts directly with the producer.
Start your own wine adventure with Lot18.com today. Register now for free at Lot 18 and receive $10 off your first order. Visit Lot18.com/The Wine Crush. That's Lot18.com/The Wine Crush.
Live from Progressive.
Flo here. With more discounts than ever before, Progressive can save you a lot of money on your car insurance.
Savings!
Oh, you can get bigger savings than that.
Savings!
That's close, but you can really save a lot of money.
You're gonna get some savings. Savings!
Much
savings.
Better!
Discounts for safe driving, owning a home, and more. Now that's Progressive. Call or click today.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Prices vary based on how you buy. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
What would you do if you had to choose between the buffalo and the giraffes? Between a flower or an elephant? What would you choose? What if you had to decide between a 100-year-old tree and a million-year-old beach? between drinking clean water or breathing clean air. Would you make the right choice? Would there be a right choice? Now there's a way to help. Not just one, but all these things. EarthShare, the world's leading environmental groups working together. It's one choice we can all live with.
This ad sponsored by Ad Council and EarthShare.
We are talking about our world today. Oh, and someone's on the line.
Hi, I'm Jacqueline.
Welcome, Jacqueline. How old are you? You sound so young.
I'm 8.
Oh, wow. I assume you're a student, right?
Yes, from Jefferson Elementary. And I have a question.
Sure. And what's your question?
We all know the Earth has 7 continents that currently carry 193 countries. Those continents make up 29% of the Earth's surface, meaning that the vast majority of our planet, 71%, is comprised of water. Taking into consideration man automatically adapts to environmental conditions, why is it that I need to take swimming lessons?
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
From the vantage point, Mafatu saw 6 war canoes drawn up on the beach. But what held the boy's eyes in awful trance were the figures springing and leaping about the flames, darting, shifting, bounding toward the sky. The eaters of men. Cannibals. Firelight glistened on their oiled bodies, on flashing spears and bristling decorations. Mafatu watched the strange scene, powerless to move, and he felt doom itself breathing chill upon his neck. In that very instant, he heard a crashing in the undergrowth. 4 figures were tearing toward him through the jungle. He could see them now. He turned and ran blindly down the trail, slipping, sliding, stumbling, his breath all but choking in his throat. Only one thought gave him courage as he ran. His canoe ready and waiting. If only he could reach it before the savages overtook him. Explore new worlds. Find out what happens next by reading the book Call It Courage by Armstrong Sperry. For other great book ideas, visit literacy.gov.
You're listening to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. Right now we're having some fun with Mr. Joshua Green. He is the editor and publisher of Wine and Spirits magazine. Josh, are you still with us?
I am, Laura.
Well, I took a moment. Obviously, it's fascinating to find out how all of us somehow get tied into the wine business is insane. There's never a direct arrow story, no matter how many people I get into. But in coming from being the sommelier, by default, by reality, however you want to put it, to translate that into making wine and spirits be so impactful with every sommelier in town, how does that work for you now? Do you go to restaurants and let people know that, hey, I'm Joshua Green of Wine and Spirits magazine, to see if they trip over themselves or if they drool or if they run screaming to the back?
Only if I'm trying to impress somebody.
Okay. Hey, Joshua, actually, I do the exact opposite. If I'm trying to impress somebody, I don't tell anybody who I am. I go to a maiden name, I go to my married name, and Laura Lawson never comes out of my mouth.
I mean, Laura, really, honestly, what we do a lot of reviews of new restaurant wine lists, and when we go to those restaurants, we try to go there anonymously, and no matter who's on staff, we try to go there as someone that, you know, just to see how we're treated and see. But there are definitely restaurants where any of us here on staff are known, and it's sort of hard to be incognito.
It's impossible in those cases because you know you're going to get one extreme to the other. One, they know who you are, and they're going to get the red carpet rolled out for you. You're going to get spoiled rotten. Or just the opposite, especially on my side, if they know you really, really well, they're like, oh, it's just Laura. She's not a person. I'm going to put the rest of the fires out, and as long as I keep her in Chardonnay, she's fine.
I'm interested that you love Chardonnay so.
I have been in the wine business more years than I will count, and I at some point have had passions for everything. But to me, when you look at Chardonnay, it does 3 things. One, I like the expression of the grape. What it doesn't matter what country you're in the whole wide world, somebody does a Chardonnay. So you do can get a feeling of place and terroir. Number two, it helps you to get to know the winemakers better, because I think ultimately, although you'll talk to winemakers from around the world, they'll say, oh, well, you know, everything should be an extension of place. I think what happens with Chardonnay is winemakers show off. It's their pet. They can manipulate it, and you see their personality.
Definitely in the new world. No
definitely.
Question.
Oh,
yeah,
you're...
And it's becoming, and also in the old world, it's becoming like that as well.
Oh, you're seeing it now, whether it's Antinori CDS Chardonnay, whether it's some things that are coming out of the lower Bourgogne, you definitely are starting to sense personality.
Well, and you must be jazzed about the poll results then, because, you know, Chardonnay's been on this long-term swoon since we started. It was originally 44% of the most popular wine in restaurants, and it went down last year, was down to 13.9%, just a constant diminishment. And this year was up to 14.9, so it went up a point.
Well, I'm taking full credit. Really, I'm taking full credit for that, because I threatened all of our listeners at the beginning of the year. I'm so sick of ABC, anything but Chardonnay. Mm-hmm. You're gonna try and find something you like again. So I will take responsibility. Thank
Good.
You very much.
You probably are the one person behind the whole thing.
Kent knows I'm usually the one person behind something. He's just never prone to put those into words. All right. Aside from that, I personally love the Wine and Spirits poll, and actually I have talked about Wine and Spirits for the 4 years we've been on the air, because I think that April edition is a great benchmark for people who like to go out to restaurants, but on the same token, they want to go home, they want to get on their couch, and they want to feel like, okay, well, what are the restaurants doing that I'm missing or what I'm not seeing? And
sure,
so I think it's a
great crib sheet. Yeah,
it's a great advocate for that. But what I find fascinating, and I want your comments on it, just because, like I said, I have been using your magazine for years, and I don't even have to look at the poll generally. And I know Kendall Jackson, I know Jordan, I know St. Michelle, I know Behringer are going to be on it. When you look at things like that, how do you see things growing? Obviously, we just spoke about how Chardonnay is increasing. But what are the new dimensions that you're seeing year after year on this poll?
Well, I mean, what's interesting is that some of those names you mentioned, they are on the top 50 list, but not necessarily where they were in the past. I mean, Sonoma-Cutrer has been at the top for years and years and years. But you look at Mary Edwards at number 9 for a Pinot Noir. That's the first time a Pinot Noir has ever gotten into the top 10 of the top 50 list. Chateau Saint Michel is number 10 for mainly because of Riesling. So you've got a Pinot Noir driving Mary Edwards. You've got Riesling driving Chateau Saint Michel. The next two down, 11 and 12, Santa Margherita and King Estate, Pinot Grigio, Pinot Gris and Pinot Grigio. And then right after that, Catena, which is being driven by Malbec.
Malbec. So
and those are really the new. That shows you really a lot of new activity in the market. Malbec is booming.
Oh, absolutely. So here's the question. Since you're definitely going to restaurants, and we all know that some restaurants, you know, once again, the dark side tries to influence them by saying, hey, let's carry more Malbecs, let's carry more Merlots, let's carry more Pinot Grigios. But you also have wineries that are going, obviously, into the Zagat-rated restaurants. Is this being driven more so from the winery side because they're going out and they're pushing different varietals, or is this being driven from the consumer side who are going in and asking for these varietals?
I think it's a little of both. But I really do think that the poll results show consumer preference. And we do an event in New York every year. We call it the Top of the List event, based on the results of the poll. And those wines are really of interest to consumers. It's almost like a consumer choice award. If you look at the most popular wines, that's going to be on May 10th in New York. And a lot of consumers love that event because they get to taste the kinds of wines that they're voting on in restaurants. You know, sommeliers can list all sorts of esoterica.
And do.
And
over and over
do.
And over again.
Yeah. But what is it that sells? What is it that ends up really going? And you know, that's when Malbec used to be somewhat esoteric, and it's no longer esoteric. So that took off. And, you know, it's like it's a way to spot trends. And for consumers to really drive trends. I think that even if you look at a brand like Kendall Jackson, that was a consumer-driven brand. That wasn't really a winery-driven brand. It became winery-driven when they became much more powerful, but originally it was consumer-driven.
It was, and that's I was having this conversation the other day. It's probably been one of the most consistent wines year in and year out since your poll started. And it's funny you mentioned, I was hoping you would go on the side that the consumers are the ones pushing it, because ultimately some of the names that are on your polls are just literally, they're iconic. And whether they're in grocery stores, they're in mega marts, sometimes you find sommeliers that will say, oh, well, I can't put that wine on my wine list because it will outsell everything else. So
that
is
a problem for people, yes.
It drives me absolutely insane. So you aren't selling a filet, you aren't selling a piece of steak because it's going to outsell the chicken. So that's why I love for your poll to come out, because it makes both sides of the equation, both the restaurateurs and the sommeliers and the consumers, stand up and pay attention. Number one, on the restaurant side, it says, okay, I need to put Lawson Chardonnay back on my wine list because people do ask for it. But on the consumer side, it gives people a little bit of confidence, whether it's the Kendall Jackson Chardonnay, the Cape Red Sauvignon Blanc, Duck Corn. Then all of a sudden they realize, I hate to say they're validated, but it's okay for me to like Chateau St. Michel Riesling because, look, I must not be the only person on the planet that does.
Yeah, and these are spiffy restaurants that are reporting these results. I mean, these are places like Restaurant Eugene down in Atlanta and A16 in San Francisco, or Michael Mina, Osteria Mozza in L.A., La Bernardin, Danielle, Gramercy Tavern, Jean George in New York. These are really high-level places. So they have a lot of unusual, distinctive, hard-to-find wines in the list.
And yet they still have some of this mainstream. Makes sense.
The wines that sell are the wines that the consumers are driving.
Yeah. Well, Joshua, I have never done this, but I'm having so much fun talking to you. We've got to take one quick break. And once we do that, I'd like to come back and get a closing statement from you to discuss wine and spirits in the poll, if that's okay, if you don't mind hanging on for one more quick second.
Sounds great, Laura.
All right. Quick break here on The Crush, and then we'll wrap up the wine and spirits concept with Joshua Green.
The Wine Crush, presented by Lot18.com.
With so many wine choices, it can be difficult to know what type of wine to buy. Lot 18 is a convenient and affordable new way to sample great wines. Each product is sourced by Lot 18 experts directly with the producer. This allows us to offer wine shipped to you at low prices.
Start your own wine adventure with Lot18.com today. Register now for free at Lot 18 and receive $10 off your first order. Visit Lot18.com/The Wine Crush. That's Lot18.com/The Wine Crush.
I'm sitting at midcourt, and the last time around, the wave took out half of my Coke. And it's coming again.
The wave is coming.
We, the fans, must stop this wave and protect our Coke. It's still coming. Cheerleaders, fire the t-shirt guns. Buzzer guy, distract them with buzzing. Wolf, howl. Hold on! Looks like we did it. Nice job, everybody.
Coca-Cola, open happiness.
Are you feeling the credit card crunch? Increasing prices and the cost of credit are stretching budgets and preventing people just like you from getting ahead or just catching up with their debts. American Financial Solutions is a nonprofit organization that can help you get back on track with your debts and strengthen your financial situation. We offer a customized debt management plan, not a consolidation loan or a settlement, but a renegotiation of terms with your current creditors. You could benefit from lower interest rates, reduced fees, finally having your past due accounts brought back into current status, and a single monthly payment. So if you're falling behind on your credit cards, medical bills, or accounts and collections, get your current statements together and give American Financial Solutions a call now.
Here's the number for your free debt analysis. 800-430-8804. 800-430-8804. 800-430-8804. Not all services available in all states. Terms and conditions apply.
Mozart toasties are so very great. Kids rejoice when Mozart's on their plate.
They know they're quite nutritious.
And so delicious.
They'll lick the dishes.
And soon you'll realize how impactful your kids' involvement in the arts can be.
Better grades, make more friends, and express their individuality. When they learn to play some music, act or paint or dance or write creatively.
Hot from the toaster and filled with the essential creative thinking skills of an 18th century musical genius, Mozart Toasties are an important part of an arts-healthy childhood. Studies show that involvement in the arts helps kids increase test scores and promotes academic achievement. Feed your kids the arts. For 10 simple ways to learn how, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. The arts. Ask for more. Brought to you by Americans for the Arts, the NAM Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, and I don't know whether it's because I've had in-studio guests lately or if I'm just having so much fun with Joshua, but we are still with Mr. Joshua Green with Wine and Spirits. Josh, are you still there?
I am here.
All right. Well, I am sorry to keep you so long, but I've been having fun. But there is one question. Well, obviously, the first thing I'd like you to do for our listeners that would like to see your poll and to see what 2011's best wines were in restaurants, where can they find out all this information?
Well, you can buy the magazine in stores right now, and a lot of bookstores have it, Barnes & Noble or Borders. You can buy it at a lot of newsstands, and you can also go to our website at wineandspiritsmagazine.com. It's all spelled out, and you can find information there about the poll. You can also find information about subscribing or getting a back issue. So that's the easiest way to get the poll results.
Okay, and of course, this will be a link on the Wine Crush website, winecrush.com. You'll be able to be linked to Wine and Spirits so that you can go check at least part of this out. But I strongly suggest to our listeners, buy the magazine. In fact, I suggest to subscribe to it, because if you ever want to get kind of an insider's trade journal, there's not anyone in the wine trade that doesn't take Wine and Spirits. So a lot of times, this is where we know trends before we actually try and apply them. So, Joshua, since I've held you over, there was a question I've been dying to ask.
Yes.
And have you ever had to pick up your phone after the April edition comes out and have a winery on the other end? I've been on the Wine and Spirits poll for the last 10 years. What do you mean I didn't make it? Have you ever had to contend with a situation like that?
It wasn't exactly that phone call, but I've had similar phone calls any number of times, yes. And there are people who rely on the poll results for not only for information, but also to help them with their sales. And the poll results have actually been in financial statements for certain people's wineries. So people get used to being at a certain point, and it's disturbing when you see either falling off or really exciting when you move up in the list. And people do call and make their impressions known. Yes.
What do they think you're going to do? That you're going to publish a surrogate list or say, oh my God, I'm sorry, we must not have checked it, and yes, we left Lawson Chardonnay off and didn't mean to. So sorry,
well,
mea culpa.
That's why I don't get a whole lot of those calls, because I think people know that it's not going to get anywhere. But people do sometimes express their dissatisfaction with the results. Yeah.
It never ceases to amaze me. I try and convince all of our listeners that the wine and what's in the bottle is always subjective. It's up to your mood. It's up to your price point. It's up to who you're with. But when it comes down to nuts and bolts of something of what sells where, it's not subjective. It's just cut and dried.
Yeah. Well, there is the issue, Laura, of the economy for the last 2 or 3 years, which has messed with brands.
Oh, no. None of us have noticed. Certainly none of us cut back in our spending and drinking habits. At all.
No,
I used to drink Plump Jack. Now I'm drinking Lawson Chardonnay at $3.99. No, I can't imagine that.
Well, that's, I think, I mean, in terms of the most change in our poll results, it's been economically driven more than anything else. You know, the last 3 years, they've been wildly different swings and things.
Well, it's
so
definitely,
you know, people have to put up with that.
Well, it's a reflection. It's a spotlight on the times. It is a snapshot, and it'd be fun to sit back and compare, you know, all the way through from 1989 to now to see what's been there. Well, Joshua, thank you so much for hanging out with us for so long. Once again, sorry I kept you, but it was very, very informative. And we'll probably keep our eye on you. We might stalk you down again. And who knows, if you ever make it down this far on the East Coast, we'll drag you in, we'll tie you up, and we'll make you in studio and have some fun with it.
Sounds like a blast, Laura. Really appreciate it.
All right, take care.
Good to talk to you. Bye-bye.
Good talking to you. Now, see, we do bring you educational guests here on The Crush. We don't just deliberately torment you with stories. But one thing I did not get to say in closing with Joshua with the Wine and Spirits is I think it is the penultimate magazine when you're trying to, whether you're a restaurateur, whether you're a consumer, whether you're a sommelier, whether you're a wait staff, whether you're someone creating a wine list, a beer list, a drink list, or whether you're on the wholesale, retail, distribution side of it, Wine and Spirits truly does help everybody. It helps the wineries with their sales. It helps consumers to know what's being consumed and what's being liked around the country. And it also helps the trade because it helps them get a handle on the consumer. So I think Wine and Spirits, out of all the magazines, is a win, win, and win of putting everything together. So that's my 2 cents worth. I will say this, but as I was joking around with Joshua, I kept throwing out Lawson Chardonnay. Can't we probably at some point need to do some research and make sure that there is no Lawson Chardonnay? It seems to me a long time ago there was a Lawson Shiraz out of Australia,
yeah.
And I know there's Laura's Chardonnay from Hartford Court, but who knows? We might be single-handedly driving a brand that none of us know by recommending Lawson
Chardonnay.
We
might want to single-handedly want to be careful about that, just in case we are. Yes,
yeah, we might have little hamsters in the turkey at our legal department.
The French are already mad at us, so we might as well.
I have behaved. We have not had a call from the embassy in ages.
That's true. That's true.
So there. So I'm working towards it. Okay, well, I hope you're having as much fun listening to The Crush today as I am. I do want to take a moment to take a quick email that I have received. And I just want to touch on this very quickly since we are talking about wines and ratings and what people prefer. I had an email, and this is from Sally, and Sally writes me from Kentucky. Why are so many of the Chardonnays that you recommend so high in alcohol? This is very, very cut and dried. Apparently, I just like high alcohol wines, and I need to drink to deal with Kent. I wish that were the cut and dried answer, but it's not. Sally, if you'll go back through all of my recommendations, I tend to lean toward California Chardonnays. There's no mistaking that. And what's happening in California right now, for better or for worse, however you want to take the argument on it, is that winemakers are putting more and more time and more money and more effort into making their Chardonnays. It's not a simple matter of, hey, let's throw all these grapes down. We have 3 tons of Chardonnay. Let's go ahead and make as much as we can. People are starting to really pay attention to where the Chardonnay grows well, how much it grows, meaning that they decrop, they cut some of the crop off, they actually make sure it has a good aspect. So what happens is these grapes, every one of them that are going into a bottle, get super ripe. And when you get super ripe fruit, when you get the warm climate, there is no sugar left. Because what happens, the higher the sugar is, the higher the alcohol content's going to be, because you don't leave residual sugar in Chardonnay. At least you're not supposed to. So yes, my Chardonnay recommendations tend to be higher alcohol. They run in the 14.2, 14.8 category. But that's what California Chardonnay is going to. I know there's a lot of critics out there that say that California Chardonnay is too hot, that we're making it too big, we're making it too extracted. But California is not Burgundy. We don't have these cute little cool climates. We don't have these moderate temperature spikes. We are dealing with full-on heat most of the time in California. And because you have heat, you're going to have ripeness. If you have ripeness, you're going to have alcohol. So, Sally, it's not deliberate. It just happens to be my choice. We're going to take a quick break right here, but when we return, we will wrap up this show, talk a little bit about wine and spirits, and, of course, give phone numbers and contacts so you can reach out to us here at The Crush.
The Wine Crush, presented by Lot18.com.
Sometimes shopping for wine can be intimidating. What if you could have your own team of wine experts to help you discover new wines and great values? Lot 18 members have access to some of the finest wines from around the world, and each selection is sourced by Lot 18 experts directly with the producer.
Start your own wine adventure with Lot18.com today. Register now for free at Lot 18 and receive $10 off your first order. Visit Lot18.com/The Wine Crush. That's Lot18.com/The Wine Crush.
Convenient? You could say that.
Lots of branches, lots of ATMs, online, on your phone. When it comes to ways to bank, Bank of America's got it covered.
With so many ATMs, I can do my banking anytime, anywhere. There's one right by work.
I've got a Bank of America near my gym.
There's one near my home, near where the kids play soccer.
I like to do my banking online. Pay my bills, set up alerts. It's fast, secure.
I'm more of a mobile person. With Bank of America's mobile app, I can use my smartphone to transfer funds, check my balances, right here in the grandstands during a yellow flag.
Bank whenever, wherever, however you want. With Bank of America, the official bank of NASCAR. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com.
Requires enrolling in online banking. Carrier fees may apply. Online bill pays and optional service alerts not available in Idaho or Washington. Bank of America NA, member FDIC, copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation. NASCAR is a registered trademark of the National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing, Inc., copyright 2011, HGJ Licensing, LLC.
Designer and car builder Carol Shelby knows cars.
I have a passion for cars.
Carol Shelby recommends Z-Max Micro Lubricant.
This stuff really works. It penetrates the metal.
Add Z-Max to your oil and gas. It cleans internal components, delivers a cleaner fuel system, extends engine life, and improves engine performance.
Z-Max is going to give it a longer life and improve the performance.
Z-Max, available at auto parts stores and at Z-Max.com.
Have you ever dreamed of being a karate master? Well, stop dreaming and start chopping with the Karate Glove.
Hi, my name's Molly, inventor of the Karate Glove, and I have just 1.5 words for you. Hi-yah!
The Karate Glove chops through anything. Just put it on and instantly chop through wood, concrete,
brick walls,
hi-ya!
Trees,
hi-ya!
Small cars. It can even chomp through these eight guitars.
Hi-ya!
It chomps things.
If I can invent a karate glove, just imagine what you can do. Visit inventnow.org to get started on your invention. Anything's possible. Keep thinking.
Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
It's hi-ya time!
Welcome back to the Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. A very special thank you goes out to Mr. Joshua Green, editor of Wine and Spirits magazine, for staying over so long with us here on the Crush today. Once again, I think it's an exceptional magazine, and if there's one edition of this one you buy, it should be this one, because, of course, it's their annual restaurant poll that outlines the best wines that are served mostly in restaurants, so definitely worth the investment. But actually, even though I do want you to reach out to us, we do like to take your emails and phone calls. I promise the last few shows haven't been indicative of that, but it's true. Once again, Laura Lawson at winecrush.com. Reach out to us and talk to us, 877-4-CRUSH-1. Of course, you can go to our website and put an email in there as well, winecrush.com. But I do have a quick email I want to answer because it actually ties into what we have talked about today. It was just a blind email on my BlackBerry, and it asked, what determines a corkage fee? For our listeners, we're talking about the Wine and Spirits restaurant poll. These are the wines that are actually sold in restaurants, the restaurants offer for sale. What happens is if you have a particular type of wine that you really like or you're a collector, you can bring a bottle of wine into restaurants, I would say in 90% of the states around the country. Corkage fee is determined from restaurant to restaurant to restaurant. There is no law that says you have to charge X amount for a bottle coming in. There is no law saying you even have to charge a corkage, easy for me to say. So this is entirely at the restaurant's discretion. So if you're going into restaurants and you're bringing your own wine in and they're charging you $35, $40 a bottle, it is simply because, you know, obviously they would prefer you look at their selections. They feel like their wine list masks their own food and it's a good blend. But there are times when obviously you're going to want to bring a bottle of wine in that's very special for a special occasion. So keep that in mind. You might want to call ahead to your restaurants, ask them what the corkage fee is. And the key on that, this is an insider's trick, ask them what the corkage fee is. And then when they tell you it's $40, ask them what the corkage fee is if you buy a bottle of wine off their wine list as well as the one you bring in. Usually you'll get a discount on that. So there's your quick email. Once again, we remind you here at The Crush, we love to hear from you. 877-4-CRUSH-1, Laura Lawson, winecrush.com. As always, we remind you to sip socially, to drink responsibly, to drink what you like, not what you're told, but most importantly, in vino veritas, in wine, there is truth. I'm Laura Lawson, and I'll talk with you next week.